By expressing my gratitude to Mrs. Honig for an enormous amount of logistical effort that goes into organizing Pink Day, and especially this year where it's, you know, Kaful. In this case, as you know, it's really a labor of love and something that Mrs. Honig really invests her heart and soul in, and for very good reason. And I also have to thank Nurse Robin this year, who was really instrumental in the process as well, and all of the students who have been involved. And I don't think you need me to articulate the importance of this cause and the significance of supporting those who have been dealt a very cruel blow. That's really what we're going to dedicate our shir to, is responses to suffering. I entitled the shir Lo Yirarak Yatayim Adi. That's part of, you know, where I believe the ultimate response lays. But to begin with, I want to sort of you know, outlay a number of different perspectives that are at least possible when it comes to dealing with suffering, both on the national as well as on the individual level. We'll see that those are two very different things. And to present different models. I don't think any of these models are really mutually exclusive, but I do think, and again, there are Makoros in the back for anybody who didn't get originally, I think that they all sort of contribute to a holistic perspective. So let's begin with probably the best-known source that we have regarding Schar Va'onesh, which is, of course, in Kriyat Shema itself, according to many part of the Doraisa structure of Kriyat Shema. The Rambam Kalash Kriyat Shalosh Parshios Elu is a definition of Kriyat Shema, so it factors into the Doraisa Vayayim Shemotei Shemonus Osai Asher Anochi Mitzav Eschem Hayom Liavo Asan Elechem Lovdo Bechol Vavchem Bechol Nafshechem V'nasati Mitzar Etzachem V'itoyir Amalkosh V'yasavte Ganecha V'siroshcha V'yitzarecha V'nasati Yesa B'zalchol Limemtecha V'yachalta V'savati Shamru Lachem Panyivta Levavchem V'saratem V'abitem Elohim Acherim V'shtach V'yisem Lahem. It's interesting, in this context, specifically of Avodah Zarah, right, the Ramban has an essay in last week's Parsha based on a comment that the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, and anytime we see Charon Af in the Torah, anytime we see the term Kanoa, Kina in the Torah, that's specifically a reference to Avodah Zarah. So the Ramban raises some questions about that. He thinks the Rambam may have gone a little bit too far, but certainly in this context, nobody could debate V'charaf Adonai Bachem V'atzar Sharmayim V'lo Yamatar. And pay very careful attention to these things. And then sometimes it's underappreciated, but the Torah comes back to the central point. Why? In other words, the very clear sense of these psukim is that your ability to live in and remain in the land of Israel as a nation is contingent directly on Shmiras HaMitzvos. If you're not able to adhere to the basic terms of the covenant of the bris, so then you can expect onesh. And if you are, so then you'll be rewarded with boundless schar. So again, we say this every single day, twice a day. It's a part of our... Yeah, it's part of Kriyat Shema. I mean, to say that it's part of our natural ethos is obviously a justifiable assertion. And as such, you know, if this were the only source that we had in Torah Shebechsav or Torah Shebaalpeh, and I don't think this year would be very much longer. Now, I want to give two passages in the Rambam that also, you know, in broad strokes, tend to point in the direction that when we find suffering, when we find what we call Yisurim, then the assumption should be that there's a kind of an onesh here, but as we'll see, more careful scrutiny of the Rambam, you know, leaves open the door for alternative possibilities at minimum. So let's take a look. Rami, go ahead. This is the Rambam from Hilchos Tshuva, from Perek Aleph, where the Rambam establishes a kind of a hierarchy of Averos as far as Tshuva is concerned.
Ilu nemar ki la yom azei chaper aleichem avar al krisos
This is what the Gemara refers to as the Chamuros, right? So now we have the introduction of Yisurin. Yisurin is a result of sin. So a number of significant things about this Rambam. First of all, the Rambam shifts the discussion in terms of what we're having from the national plane to the individual plane. That would be point number one. And point number two is the Rambam clearly lays out, you know, the idea that avonos of a certain magnitude are going to be gorim yisurin in terms of the kapara and tshuva process. Now, the point that I was alluding to a moment ago is the Rambam does not indicate here anything about the inverse. The Rambam does not say that all cases of yisurin are a consequence of averos chamuros. Everybody follow that? So logically speaking, that is a very, very important induction to make. The Rambam says it is true that when it comes to averos chamuros, that yisurin are an essential part of the kapara and tshuva process of hakati b'shevet pisham u'b'negoyim avonam, negoyim in the sense of a yinaga Hashem es paro negoyim gedolim v'esbeso al devar sarayesh es avram o nega achad avial paro al mitzrayim. But the Rambam never states anything about the inverse. Rami, why don't you just go one further source in the Rambam? Because again, we'll see a similar model here. This is the Rambam in Perek Yimel of Hilchos Tshuva. And as you win by 50.1%, right? You're doing okay. So it applies on the national level, it applies on the cosmic level, it applies on the individual level. Miyad, right? Sounds like, okay, he's going to die of, you know, the Avono Shebiyado, immediately. V'chein medina shavosa merubin? Miyad!
Miyad hi obedes, shenemar zaakas tidom amoraki rava. Habigomer v'chein kol ha'olam kulo, in hayu Avono sehem merubin mizichu yosehem.
Miyad! So justice, right, is not just served, but it's served immediately in all of these cases, right? The moment that the avonos outweigh the zechuyos, okay? Whereas if you have a principle, v'yesh adam shekona olamo b'sha'a achas, unfortunately the inverse is also possible. Yesh adam shema'abed es olamo b'sha'a achas, right? The sin is grievous enough, okay? Okay, so very good. So the Rambam establishes, again, a very clear paradigm here, that whether you're talking about the Yachid, whether you're talking about a Medina, whether you're talking about the Olam, as soon as the Avonos, again, in the shikol of the, you know, Tumim Deos, so we can't possibly do the calculus, but according to the algorithm that he has in the Beis Din Shalmala, so Miyad Misa comes. Now, again, just as we said in the Hilchos Tshuva Perek Aleph, we haven't stated anything dispositively with respect to the inverse. In other words, does that mean any time that we see a person or a Medina, hopefully not Kol Olam Kulo, in this situation, can we assume that this is exactly why it happened? Now, some people would read the Rambam that way, but I think that is a very shallow understanding, and I also think that it happens to be inconsistent with Divrei Chazal Benidon. So let's take a look at some of the classical rabbinic comments here, because I think what we'll see is not just an isolated tradition within Chazal, but what I believe to be if one could use such a term, if not a normative tradition, then certainly the mainstream tradition within Chazal on this topic in terms of how we should relate to Yisurin, the question of suffering, how we should even relate to the question of Misa. And let's have a look, beginning with the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Hey. Ilan, if you don't mind, go ahead. Imo Adam she Yisurin boy in Alav. So again, we talked about Yisurin before, specifically in the context of Averos Chamuros, okay? But here the Gemara doesn't make it such a simple algorithm. And that's a pretty safe bet, right? That there was at least a minute or two that was squandered. Okay, so Gemara is now introducing a concept that we hadn't yet seen before, right? It's pretty early on in Shas. It's forward blood into Shas. The idea of Yisurin Shel Ahava. And Yisurin Shel Ahava, the Gemara says, has a dual definition. Yisurin Shel Ahava means both it's a reflection of Avas Hashem for that individual, Ki es asher yehav Hashem yochiach, but it equally means, as we saw, the comparison to the Korban Hashem, that it's not just Ava that flows from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the individual, but Meidach Gisa, what does it reflect? Exactly, it reflects an Ahava, right, of the individual for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's critically important. That is a definition of Yisurim Shel Ahava. It has to cross both of those thresholds. Ki es asher yehav Hashem yochiach on the one hand, and on the other hand, Kabbalah me Ahava. Again, the default assumption is that something went wrong here, right? Yifash ve'shemasav, bitul Torah. If the person can somehow, maybe it's a theoretical construct, right? Because of bitul Torah. But if a person can establish that there is a notion of Yisurin that is independent, frankly, of any avon, and on the contrary, reflects the idea of divine love. So you'd say that's a very strange way for a person to express their love, and it would be, but it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, kilo machshav osai machshav seichem. There's something that deepens the ava between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and this individual by having to journey through Yisurim together. So pligi be Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. Okay. Okay, so I'm the Rav Abba, Rav Chia, Rav Abba. Okay, Rav Abba, Rav Yochanan, Rav Abba, Rav okay. So basically what we have here in the Gemara is that Yisurin Shel Ahava, if we defined it correctly, that this is somehow going to serve to deepen an Ahava-based relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the individual whom he is miyaser. So the Gemara says, well, if that's really the point, so then he had no senes, that it's impossible that somehow the relationship could suffer. How do we measure the relationship? What's the metric of that relationship? Talmud Torah and Tefillah, which are the two cardinal mitzvos of Avodas Hashem. So if it's meant somehow to deepen that experience of Avodas Hashem, it's incongruous. It can't be that Yisurin Shel Ahava express themselves in a way that will be goreim bitul Torah and that will be goreim bitul Tefillah. Okay. A little bit further.
Okay,
Melach mimatach yasas avasar, afrizamur b'yisuri, yisuri mimarkin kol avanos sav shalash.
So again, here, the tail end of the Gemara brings back Yisurin into the world of Avonos, that somehow, that this is going to be an experience of purgation. But earlier on in the Gemara, we had a more classical description of Yisurin Shel Ahava. Somehow these Yisurin were meant to further and deepen the Ahava-based relationship, Ki es asher ahava yehav Hashem yochiach, on the one hand, and Me'idach, that he has to be Mekabel, me ahava. Again, another makar that has to be placed on the ledger in terms of, let's say, disentangling or dissociating Yisurin from Avon. You know, just three more makaros that be malpractice not to include in the conversation. So, Eitan, go ahead. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Well, these are all different kinds of answers. The basic question of theodicy of Tzadik Viralo, and also the inverse question of Rasha Vitolo. Maybe it has to do something with Chosavos. Maybe it has to do with, you know, not being, you know, the pristine level of Tzadik, Tzadik Gamar. Okay, so that's all, you know, interesting. But Upliga the Reb Meir. Kadosh Baruch Hu basically tells Moshe Rabbeinu, this is not something that you can understand. There's no logical explanation for this that a human being could possibly relate to. Kilo yirani ha'adam v'chai, rather v'chanosi es asher achon v'richamti es asher arachim. So Reb Meir's shita was that in terms of understanding tzadik v'ralo, we can't say that it's because there's something deficient, whether it's his chos avos, whether it's the degree of tzidkus. This is something which is what the Rav used to refer to in Latin as the mysterium tremendum, right? This sense of something which is completely obscured from us, deus absconditus. We cannot kel mistater. We cannot possibly understand these things. So once again, if the Gemara and Brachos laid it out in terms of somehow furthering and deepening and consolidating a relationship of Ava, I think a very beautiful idea. I think that is not mutually exclusive, but that presents a little bit differently to Dapin later in Brachos, where it's simply something that's beyond our human understanding. So again, a third makor that simply has to be put on the ledger in this discussion, and it's interesting that it is indeed Reb Meir who ended up learning from Acher, because you'll see that the Gemara thinks that there's a very important role for Acher in this discussion. Okay, so Avi, go ahead. This is the Gemara Masech the Kiddushin. So maybe he didn't see it right. Maybe he had the wrong case. Maybe the person really, you know, the psukim are kipshutam leman yarichun yamech leman yitavlach is bolam hazeh. Right? The Gemara says, no way, Rabbi Yaakov Maisa Chaza. He was a witness to this. Right, so maybe the kid, while he was fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibud Aveim and Shiluach HaKen, so maybe the kid was Mahara Be'Aveira.
Except Levan Tihosh as this Israel Belivam, Ihunami Hakitomar, Isaac Adaita, Tsar Mitzvah Bahayama, Bahayama, Amilo Ogin Mitzvahs Aler, Kihikidolisi Lidaher.
Why should he have been Mahar in the first place? The fact that he was involved in Kibbut Abayim and Shiluch HaKen should have served as a form of protection. Right, so the Gemara is trying very hard. Gemara is trying to say anything but saying that this is, not something that we can fully understand. So the Gemara says, well, Sulam Ra'uhava, the Kviya Hazeka, right, we know the Gemara Psachim, Dav Chasa, Cholhecha, the Kviya Hazeka, Losam Chinan Anisa, as we know, the Chsiba Yom Rishul, Echelech, Vashama, Shalva, Ragani. So in any event, after all of these different attempts, all of these different efforts, Amr of Yosef. So either he saw this event, with his grandson, right, he was there, and his grandson interpreted it correctly, which is to mean that ultimately, schar mitzvah b'hai al malaka, that we can't interpret somebody dying, which seems like a horrible and cruel and unjustified death, b'olam hazeh, somehow is related to sin. Schar mitzvah b'hai al malaka, this is just an expression of tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik v'ralo, excuse me, as we saw, right, the pliga de Reb Meir and the Gemara Brachos Dav Zayin. So one theory is that Acher saw this, that he just had the wrong response from his grandson. V'ikad Amri, right? Right, the Chutzis HaMeturgeman was decapitated, Asar Haruge Malchus, right, and mutilated, and he saw the tongue of Chutzis HaMeturgeman that was involved in the Harbatz of so much Torah. So he said, Amar Pesha Hefik Margolios, Ilochech Afar, that it should lick the dust, Nafak Chata, and Acher had the wrong response. So again, what's so critical about this Gemara and Kiddushin, and why I say it's absolutely essential, is that the Gemara says, Chazal tell us that there's a terrible price to pay for maintaining a linear equation. If you're going to say that Yisurin and even Misa is always the product of Avonos, a person is going to witness things that are going to cause Sveikos for which there simply are no answers. And the price to be paid is a terrible one. And in Acher's case, it literally was motzio min ha'olam. And again, the fourth sugya in Shas, which I think is the Makke B'Patish, is in fact the sugya in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Nun Hei. Okay, so let's take a look over here. David, go ahead. Amar Rab Ami in Misa below Ched Vein Yisurin below Avon. So Rab Ami lays it down. He says, okay, where we started this year, that was a better place. If you see Yisurin, you know that there was a Ched. If you see Misa, you know that there was a chait. Ein Misa below chait, ein Yisurin below Avon. Ein Misa below chait, echsev ha-nevesh ha-chotas yitamos. Right, everybody's going to carry their own water here in this world. So ein Yisurin below Avon, echsev. Okay, as we saw, that pasuk was cited before. Vakati b'shevet pisham. So Meisvei Amram Alach Sharis of Nekadosh Baruch Hu. So this is what they call a leading question in law, right? So that was clearly a case of, you know, schar bonus, right? He violated, so he deserved a penalty. Okay. Okay, so now all of a sudden there's a little bit of backing off of this idea of Ein Misa below Ched, Ein Yisurin below Avon. Who damar ki Tanya? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, right, so we'll pin it on Mei Meriva if you're the Abra Avinel. You'll pin it on Cheda Egel in the case of Aaron, in Cheda Meraglim in the case of Meshe Rabbeinu. Ha'amantim bi adayin lo giyus manchem. So Meisvei, so the Gemara doesn't give up. Because these were apparently tzaddikim gemurim, and the only reason that they even died, if you're saying that Misa has to be a product of chait, so if there's no chait, how did they die? So they died because of, let's call it, the human condition, what the you know, Gemara refers to as Bat Yoshal Nachash, so money. So they think that Mesha and Aaron should be on this list. So Elalav. Oh, so this could only be according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that even Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is going to have to be Moda, that there are exceptions to this rule of Ein Misa B'Ochid, Ein Yisrim B'Lo Mavo, Nushma Mina. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. So this Gemara establishes dispositively that at least at the level of the individual, consistent with what we saw in the Gemara Brachos Dav Hey in terms of Yisurin Shel Ava, consistent with what we saw in the Shita Viv Meir and the Gemara Brachos Dav Zayin, consistent we saw the Gemara Kiddushin Dav Lamitas in the situation of that child who is Mekayim Mitzvahs Kibud Aveim and Shiluach HaKen, and the Gemara's warning about how Acher looked at that. So consistent with this, at least on the level of the Yachid, at least on the level of the Yachid, admittedly one can maintain Pshutel Shel Mikra when it comes to the sins of a nation. It is interesting that you could try to draw that distinction, but at least when it comes to a Yachid, we are compelled to say that Tiyuvta Derab Ami, Tiyuvta, apparently Yesh Misa below Chet, V'yesh Yisurin below Avon. So again, it can't be that our total response when we see suffering around us, when it appears that the blameless young children who are stricken with the cruelest of diseases, people who are blameless, Yonkei Shadayim, Shalo Tamu, Tam Chait, etc., that we should necessarily attribute this or ascribe this to Averos, even though, of course, there are doctrines in which that could be possible, let's say the parents or other such things. But these makoros in the Chazal, brachos hey, brachos zayin, kiddushin lamites, Shabbos daf nun hey, are certainly, I think, if not normative, it's hard to use that word in the context of such a shir, but they certainly, in my judgment, represent the mainstream view to yuvta, dirab ami to yuvta. But all of this does not suffice. Because as we are, and hopefully we have, both personally and at the communal plane, more of an appreciation of what Yisurin means, depending on how we've experienced this last year. But hopefully we have, no matter where we are exactly and how directly we've been impacted, hopefully we have a greater sensitivity than we might otherwise have. Because to say that in the abstract and theoretically, does not tell us anything of value in terms of what our religious experience should be. Halavai shaloneida shaloteidu. Deep, unrelenting, unmitigating suffering that you should never know, that your family should never know. That's my greatest tefillah and brach. But what does it mean for a person or a family, pink day today, right, that is stricken? And again, suffering takes on as many forms as there are human beings in this world. It's suffering which is caused by illness, physical or mental illness. Of course, we're reflecting on one kind of physical illness today. There's suffering that's caused by financial distress. There's suffering that is literally infinite in terms of its sources. But what does that do to a person's bond with the Borei Olam, who's Kol Yachol, who we know, were it his will, were it his ratzon, could, as Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hayad Hashem Tiktzar, he can bring a Yeshua. And if that Yeshua is not forthcoming, how does a person sustain that? This is not a simple question. Philosophically, it's one thing to say, okay, Schar Mitzvah B'Hayal Ma'akleka. Philosophically, it's one thing to say, V'chanosi Asher Achon V'richamti Asher Arachim. philosophically, it's one thing to say tiyufta the Rabbi Ami tiyufta, but how is a person supposed to get up in the morning? And day after day, they're plagued by terrible suffering, anguish, physical pain, emotional pain. Want to be able to take care of their families with a measure of dignity, they're unable to do so. They work 16, 17, 18 hours a day, and it's one busha after chlima after cherpa. Nothing we've said addresses that issue. With the words of David HaMelech should stand us all in good stead in this respect. Mizra David Adnei Roi Lo Echsar. B'nei steshe yarbitzeini al meminucho sina aleni. Nafshi yishovev yancheni v'magle tzedek l'man shemo. Gam ki ilech v'geitz al moves. Lo iwa ro ki ata imadi. Shivtecho mishantecho. Hema yinachamuni. This is one representative source. But David HaMelech laid out a fundamental principle of Jewish thought that the deeper a person's suffering, the more desperate their situation, the greater their closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It makes no predictive statement regarding whether or not their suffering will be alleviated now, tomorrow, next month, ever. But Karov Adonai L'Nishperei Leves Dakei Ruach Yeshia Shechina L'malam Yerashosav Shalchola. It's true on the personal level. It's true on the national level. Moshe Rabbeinu beheld the Kadosh Baruch Hu for the first time. Bilabad Eish Mitoch Hasne V'lo Ilan Acher Mishum. Again, no surprise here that Rashi was quoting the words of Nim Zmiros Yisrael. Imei Anochi B'tzara. This is a Kabbalah that I have from my Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who applied it not just on the personal level or the familial level or the communal level, but who applied it even on the national level. Even though, again, as I've written about in the past, as I've spoken of in the past, I spoke about again today, philosophically it is possible for a person to draw the distinction and point out that all the Gemaros that we explored together, Brachos Hei, Brachos Zayin, Kedushin Lamites, Shabbos Nun Hei, those all deal with Yechidim. As far as the nation's concerned, Dvarim Yud Aleph is dispositive. And yet, we're living a generation after the greatest calamity in Jewish history. There are 6 million Kedoshim, 1.5 million of them children. Here's what my Rebbe had to write with respect to this issue. Holocaust raises many intractable questions. What were its historical roots and antecedents? How could such a cultured people commit such a crime? But the question which concerns us principally is the prophetic query echoing throughout the generations, question of theodicy. Why do the righteous suffer? A number of possible approaches have been put forth to tackle this problem. One, not only is it untrue that God ignored what was transpiring, but on the contrary, the Holocaust is a fulfillment of his will. We need to recognize this and confess it occurred. If we view the Holocaust as a punishment, we may answer the question of the suffering of the righteous with another question. Why do we ignore our own behavior preceding the Holocaust? If we're so concerned, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Yidei Nashim Rachmanios, Shu Yaldehen, why do we not conduct an equal level of soul searching when faced with the image of a priest and prophet have been slain in God's sanctuary? Number two, completely opposite approach. God has given man free choice, and he now, as it were, unable to interfere. When powers of destruction are allowed to act, Shasha Satan Mekatrig, Inomavchin bin Sadik Lurasha. Three, combination of these approaches. Holocaust represents Hester upon him the hiding of God's face. Neither a purposeful act on his part, nor is he bound by human freedom of choice. Rather, it is a situation whereby God withdrew his hand, Anochi Aster Aster Panai Bayomahu Akola Roasher Asah, because of the sins of Am Yisrael. We may ask why God hid his face despite the fact that he could have saved us. Again, Hayad Hashem Tiktzer. And the answer is that since modern secularism broke off all contact with God, as described in Parshas Vayelech, this severance became reciprocal. God hid his face as a natural result of our severance of contact with him, not as a punishment, but as a consequence, the Nazis were then able to give free rein to their satanic desires. However, it may be preferable to leave the problem unresolved, even if it is multiplied 6 million times, than to accept any of these answers. Not because there are better ones. There are not. Any of these answers may theoretically be correct. We should not reject outright the answer that maintains that we suffered mibnei chataeinu, who are we to instruct divine providence as to how to punish. As we saw in the Rambam, the shikul that a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes is known only to him. However, morally, we dare not say this, since adopting its answer requires that we see European Jewry as a terribly wicked community to the extent that it brought the Holocaust upon itself, or alternatively, we must adjust our standards and say that such terrible punishments are the appropriate response to very ordinary sins. Yeshayahu was punished for saying, "B'toch am tmei svasayim anochi yoshev." The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Nun Tes says this is what caused his death when Menashe killed him. When Menashe was cutting into a tree in which an erez in which Yeshayahu was hiding, he was able to cut through exactly at the space where Yeshayahu's mouth was, because he accused the Jewish people of only being an am tmei svasayim. Are we going to accuse our ancestors of being inexorably wicked? For us to make such a serious accusation against the previous door is certainly more serious than the accusation made by Yeshayahu. Who would dare say that there is even some comparison between the victims and the perpetrators? Among the victims were people of the highest spiritual attainment, saints from birth and childhood. On the other hand, and a million and a half children themselves. On the other hand, if we change our standards of sin and punishment, then we have to see the God of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachem in a completely different light. The second answer, maintaining that God's hands were tied, as it were, must also reject. For this would imply that we deny him any role in the course of history. Third answer, that of hiding his face, of Hester Panim, leaves us with the question, why? Was the situation so dire that we really deserved for God to hide his face from us? For those of us who are believers, it's preferable to live with the question and with the faith surrounding it rather than to try and grasp at explanations of one kind or another. We cannot! Nor will we ever be able to provide an adequate explanation for what happened. Someone once said in response to a question as whether he believed an explanation would ever be found for the Holocaust, I hope not. A woman once asked my neighbor, Leib Rachman, a Holocaust survivor, where was God during the Shoah? He replied, he was with us. And that is the only response. Imo anochi v'tzara. The question remains, but we are unable to supply an explanation for even smaller details of history's course because we cannot see the entire picture. How much greater then is our inability to explain an event of this magnitude? We're not judged by our ability to find or create convoluted explanations. Our test lies in not forgetting and in learning lessons for the future. Rav Aaron Zatzal was willing to apply this, again, not just on the communal, familial, or personal level, but at the national level. And I think that's very much the order of the day. Suffering, again, shelo neda, shelo tedu, but legitimate suffering, suffering that is borne by an individual in terrible physical pain, in terrible mental, emotional pain, terrible psychological pain, terrible financial distress, where suffering is real. All of these things are philosophically important. But experientially, as much as we can, we have to try for ourselves and for all those around us to project the idea that just because an individual is suffering doesn't mean chas v'shalom that Kadosh Baruch Hu has turned his back on said individual, but rather, as David HaMelech insisted, Lo yirara ki ata imadi, that I sense your presence that much more, Shechina l'malam yirashosav shalchola, and in the end of the day, Karov Adonoi l'nishperei lev, Bezdake ruach yoshia tudinim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is there, as he was in the snow when Klal Yisrael were suffering. And afilu cherev chadam unachas al tzavaro shel adam ayimana atzmi min harachamim v'esdake ruach yoshia, to try to strengthen ourselves, try to strengthen those who are suffering, try to strengthen those who are in anguish, ki kirova yeshuasi lavo v'tzidkasi ligalos, with a measure of optimism, that kolod nishmaso bo, that as long as there's life and there's a breath of life, v'esdake ruach yoshia, that we can hope for divine mercy. Thank you very much.